The market's uncertain, revenue's tight, and hiring on hold. That's why results-driven companies are using Upwork to keep work moving. Go to Upwork.com today and start hiring proven freelance talent fast. No bulky overhead. No rigid long-term contracts. Just the right expert right when you need them. Work smarter and faster with Upwork. Go to Upwork.com now and find your freelance expert. That's UPWORK.com. Post a job for free and get started today.
Kempire is brought to you by
Philly. The Kempire After Dark live experience is coming to you first on July 10th. Yeah, that's the same day that Real Housewives of Orange County is premiering, but our show will be better. I guarantee it. It's a night of hot topics, comedy, and so much more with special guest Alexander Rogers. We spilling tea as well. And don't forget, if you are in Atlanta, I'll be there on August 5th. Then we'll be in D.C. on August 22nd. Then back here in New York City on September 12th. All shows have meet and greets available, so get those if you don't already, if you want a picture with me or Kiki with me. And don't forget, the New York City show has a live stream option exclusively. And what I say in Washington, D.C., Philly, or Atlanta will not be the same thing that I mentioned in New York City. And don't forget, you have access to that live stream link for at least a week. Be sure to check out the description for more details on how you can be a part of the Kempire After Dark, the Villain Era live summer tour.
You're listening to Kempire here on the Kempire Radio Network.
It's day 21, I think. No, pretty sure. It's day 21 of the Sean Diddy Combs trial. And Diddy's ex-girlfriend, Jane, she's testifying under the pseudonym, is still on the stand being cross-examined by the defense. And based on what I've seen so far, I'm not sure how it's going. But I think every single day, every single week, it varies. Did they do their job when it comes to the defense or the prosecution? Yesterday, we had a lot of information come out in regards to her relationship with Diddy. But we also had some information that came out. Is Diddy sending messages to bloggers and journalists? We'll talk about it a little bit again. In day 21 of Kempire's exclusive coverage, recap, synopsis, whatever you want to call it, of the Sean Diddy Combs trial. And don't forget, you can get your Diddy trial updates and more, including live recaps and all kinds of additional content, weekend updates and pop culture on the Kempire podcast. While you're there, do me a favor and give us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts and on Spotify. Speaking of the podcast, I will be dropping our Club Kempire episode later this evening because I'm in the middle of covering the Diddy of it all because they started late today. And I will be talking about the BET Awards for our Club Kempire members. I have a lot to say. And for those that are saying, oh, but what about us? Well, there is a free 3-day trial. So if you wanted to hear that episode, but I think you'll get hooked because there's so many other episodes. Because last week we spilled some Bravo related tea. Bravo, for those that aren't here for reality television, Bravo the Network. We spilled some tea in regards to that now that you guys are finding out stuff, but it's okay. Free 3-day trial to the Kempire, Club Kempire podcast, paid subscription on Apple. And even if you don't have an Apple device, you can listen on their website. So I say all that today. It's day 21 of the Sean Diddy Combs trial, and we have more testimony to unpack. And based on what I've seen so far, I'm not sure how the defense is doing because clearly, at this particular point, we know the angle. You have to discredit Jane and her testimony because for those that may have not checked out our last updates or you're not keeping up with the case, Jane is a pseudonym that Victim 2 is using. A reminder to our audience, because I'm going to give you a daily reminder as long as these victims are testifying under a pseudonym. I don't care that in court, maybe there have been some very clear clues or celebrities named that will connect you. No speculation. And when we say speculation so that everyone understands, that means not just not saying her name, but also not speculating on who it could be or who she's connected to. I know it's very obvious, but the court is cracking down on media outlets, bloggers included, that are speculating or revealing, doxing this person's name. We're not going to do that here because at the end of the day, who she is not as important as to what she's saying and what she's testifying, which she has testified over these last few days. She's been on the stand a long time now. She's talked about this, the freak-offs, the hotel nights. She's also talked about how Diddy physically assaulted her. We've unpacked all of that. And again, I will be bringing Kirsten Brown back. I think hopefully next week we can try and figure something out. If you missed my previous conversation, it's still worth it. If you want to understand a prosecutor's view of how the first 3 weeks of the Sean Diddy Combs trial was going or is going, be sure to check that out. I'll cite it in this description as well. Let's get into what our friends over at NBC News is giving us today. As you may recall, if you checked out yesterday's update, we let you know that court wasn't going to start until 1 p.m. today. So this is probably why you'll probably get this recap a little bit later than usual, But I literally had to sort of like hold off my day because they didn't start until 1 p.m. today. And again, I believe some of that is because Diddy wants to be able to meet with his lawyers and he's not able to meet with them past a certain time. So that has been an issue for Diddy in regards to being able to meet with his attorneys past 7 p.m. And the judge said he was going to try and see if he can make that happen. I'm assuming that they haven't, and I think that might be part of the reason why they're meeting a little bit later for whatever reason. So the jury came in, I believe, before 1 p.m. So this is part of the reason why today they started a little bit later. I doubt they'll go past 5:30 today. All right, so reminder. NBC says this, presumably cooler heads will be in play today, nearly 24 hours after some of the trial's most fiery moments emerged out of the blue about designer handbags. Because again, she's being cross-examined. She is now the government's witness. But what should be noted is that Jane was in a relationship with Diddy up until he was arrested. Her rent is being paid by Diddy currently. Her lawyer that's representing her is being paid by Diddy. But they're also, they have to take away from her credibility. You loved Diddy. You were more than consenting to be a part of these hotel nights and freak-offs and being with other men to make him happy. You also loved the lifestyle. That was your motivation. I'm just giving you what the defense is saying. I'm not saying that this is fact. I'm giving you the defense's defense. So presumably cooler heads will be in play today, they say. Nearly 24 hours after some of the trial's most fiery moments emerged out of the blue about designer handbags, defense lawyer Tenny Garagos insinuated in a line of questions Tuesday afternoon that the witness, Jane, didn't come away from her relationship with Combs empty-handed. Garagos asked Jane if she had received a Chanel bag. And if you know anything about Chanel bags, they're very expensive. Jane said, no, I only got trauma. When asked if she knew what a Bottega bag was, Jane fired back at the daughter of famed L.A. lawyer Mark Garagos, who has represented so many people that have been in trouble, from Chris Brown, also Harvey Weinstein. Harvey Weinstein, there's some updates in regards to that today. He was convicted again. I know you're probably thinking, isn't he already in jail? Well, he had other pending charges. We could talk about that since we have some time today if you want. But L.A. lawyer Mark Garagos is she's the daughter of famed L.A. lawyer Mark Garagos, who I heard was in the court yesterday. Here's the thing. I don't know if he's a part of Diddy's legal team. I do know that the judge early in the case reprimanded Mark for some comments that he made on his podcast. And the judge was like, you have a new podcast listener. So I don't know if he's providing assistance to this case. I wouldn't be surprised the fact that he's even in the court. Yes, it's his daughter. I don't know if the daughter works for him. So who knows? I'm pretty sure. He says, I'm sure you have. Wait, okay. Jane fired back at the daughter of famed LA attorney Mark Garagos, saying, I'm sure you have one. Oh, she's feisty. Jane didn't appreciate Garagos inquiring about the price tag of a Bottega and snapped back, how much does my body cost? I mean, she's got a point. In my view, Jane's cross-examination gave the jurors reason to distrust her testimony, according to NBC News legal analyst Danny Savalos. First, she was at times snarky with the defense counsel during cross-examination. Bad idea. It never looks good, but worse, she didn't own bad facts. She has an explanation for everything. So it's interesting to get a different legal perspective. And what you probably have noticed for those that have been following the Diddy case is that you listen to a variety of different attorneys and they have a different opinion. Rightfully so, because I don't feel like this story is black and white when it comes to the specific charges of S trafficking in RICO. It's black and white when we can say that Diddy's a horrible human being and manipulative and abusive. That's black and white. But the defense understands that's not the case that they're arguing here. They know the case that they're arguing, and they're trying to discredit and prove that Diddy did not do S trafficking or RICO. Jane isn't a psychologist, but her testimony yesterday might have given jurors the most insightful peek yet into Combs's mindset, particularly in the bedroom. Because remember yesterday, some of the things that she mentioned was that she started to Google and look into information about cuckolds and what that means. And some of you didn't even know what that meant. Also, she was concerned that maybe he might be bisexual because of him wanting to see her with other men. So under cross-examination by the defense and without much objection from the government, Jane said that she believes Combs is curious about bisexuality, but wants to keep that side of him at a distance. And I speculated with her testifying that he would send her sermons and he would talk a lot about his spirituality and his relationship with God. And I could see, and there are a lot of people, a lot of men, a lot of black men that had that sort of conflict when it comes to their sexuality and the religion that they grew up with or the mother that they grew up with. Asking his girlfriends to have sex with strange men as he watched and recorded nearby was his way of participating, according to Jane. Combs is, quote, too scared to do the act, thus making these freak-offs a regular part of his life, the former girlfriend told the court. But here's the thing. There's nothing wrong with these freak-off parties. What's wrong is him manipulating and forcing and giving drugs in order to manipulate and depriving your partner of sleep in order to continue to manipulate them. That's the problem. We're not saying there's any problem with bisexuality. Clearly not over here. There's no problem with bisexuality or your sexual desires and things like that. The problem is here is when you're abusing others for your own wants and needs and breaking the law at the same time. Combs is too scared to do the act, thus making these freak-offs a regular part of his life, the former girlfriend told the court. I was trying to figure out the relationship and I came upon the word cuckold. A man turned on by watching his woman having sex with another man, Jane said. I just wanted to know what was driving him. The other defense angle, they asked her age, because remember, a lot of people were saying, well, Cassie was only 19. He groomed her. Again, grooming can happen at any particular point in life. And I get it. People don't understand that, but it can. However, people can be manipulated at any point in life as well. But the angle here from the defense is that how old were you when you met Diddy? She said 35. So it's an emphasis to the jury, because although you and I may be able to like, well, you can be groomed at any age. There are people, and those people might be on the jury, within the jury that believe, oh, you were 35 years old. You're grown. You should have known better. And that might stick in their minds. The defense all but conceded that Combs regularly abused girlfriends and those around him, but has also highlighted the seemingly unfathomable affection the former partners had for him, despite the violence he inflicted. In between revealing details of Combs' terrible mistreatment of her, Jane also said that she enjoyed giving him foot rubs, cuddling with him while watching the NBC News magazine show Dateline, and accepting the allegedly loving nickname Crackpipe. That's what he used to call her. The government, in closing arguments, will surely lean on earlier testimony by forensic psychologist Dawn Hughes to make sense of the wild ups and downs that Combs' girlfriends endured. I believe they were trying to have Dr. Hughes come back, but I don't think that's going to happen. A former girlfriend of Sean Diddy Combs, identified by the pseudonym Jane, is back on the stand after giving an emotionally charged testimony yesterday. Jane is one of the four alleged victims at the center of the prosecution's racketeering conspiracy and S-trafficking case against Combs. Her testimony is a part of the government's effort to show that Combs orchestrated a sprawling criminal enterprise to fulfill his sexual desires. Before court began, Combs was standing up toward the audience in the courtroom. He appeared to be wearing a light orange sweater and khaki pants and seemed to be mouthing words to someone in the courtroom. I won't be surprised if the judge reprimands Diddy again, because we did a report yesterday, and this is why it's important to be subscribed or to check out the podcast, because I included it in the podcast version yesterday. Stephanie Sue, who has a popular podcast, YouTube, she's very known on the internet. I didn't know of her, to be honest with you guys, and this is why I say the internet is so vast and wide, and a lot of you didn't know of me until probably the Diddy trial. So hello, welcome to the fam. And she has been covering the case, and she's been in the courtroom. Well, she went on her socials and revealed that Diddy spoke to her and said, "I know you." But not once, because the first time he did it, she said, "I'm not going to assume that he was talking to me," even though a journalist that was in the courtroom at the time said, "You're going to include that in your video, right?" And she was like, "No, I'm not sure if he was even speaking to me." Then he did it again. She also talked about how she's been getting weird comments from people asking her, "Where are you staying?" She said she's had to move multiple times since covering this case. She also says that some people have been asking her, "Your audience listens to you? Like anything that you say, they'll do?" Weird. I'm going to play this for you again because that's how weird they were.
"It has been a rough few weeks. This is our fourth time moving locations. One of them was completely unrelated to the case, and the rest of the times that we've moved to different places to stay, it's just been getting weird, and we're taking all the necessary precautions to keep the entire team safe. So the past 2 weeks, we have had almost 8 or 9 times completely new faces that will come up to us, tell us that they love our show, Rotten Mango, and then they keep asking us where we're staying. This has been happening like every other day. There are other odd questions that are asked by people that don't necessarily look like they even care about the show in the slightest. So one person in particular asked a series of questions trying to gauge how much, quote, power I have over my audience. Like, they kept asking, like, can you make them do anything? And I was like, do you think I, like, run a cult? I think half of them don't even like me that much. Like, what do you mean? What do you mean? I can't make them do anything, period. But they kept asking, like, well, you don't think if you say something, they would listen to you? And I'm like, I don't think so. I think they would do their own research. And it did not seem like this person cared at all about this show. There was one instance where we're walking out of the courthouse. We run into someone who's like, hey, I love your show. That's it. And then they like come in for a hug. It was kind of abrupt. I was a little bit taken off guard. I love your show. Pulling me in for a hug. And my researcher snatches my arm, pulls me back and is like, we gotta go. Our car is here. And I thought it was kind of strange. So we get into the car and she's telling me their hand was like elbow deep into your tote bag. It's clear that they're looking for something. Now, I will say that my tote bag opening is quite large, but it's right under my armpit. So you would have to attempt to stick your arm in there. It would not be an accident like, oh, I'm hugging you and my hand just ended up in this side. It's like elbow deep. So, I mean, I guess they could have been trying to steal my wallet, but it was weird. There's a lot of other small incidents that have taken place over the past week. It feels like the weirdness and the influx of all these odd questions of where are you staying? How much influence do you have increased, especially the where are you staying ones. I mean, I've never had.
That's creepy. That's really, really, really creepy. And a lot of people are saying she should hire security. I know you guys think that we make a lot of money content creating. You can make some good money, especially because she has millions and millions of followers. So she makes a nice bag. But we have to work for that bag. Just because you have millions of followers doesn't mean that's how much you are making. But I don't know if she has the funds. First of all, her being here and covering the case and staying in hotels, and that is expensive because it's New York City. But I do hope that she is taking the necessary precautions and being safe, because when we think about what Diddy's being accused of, we have to keep in mind, yes, it's all alleged right now. But when we think about what he's been accused of and what he has allegedly gotten away with over the years, she should be safe. She should definitely be safe, and we're going to continue to hold her up in prayer. But that wasn't the only thing that she said. She talked about how Diddy spoke to her during the trial. And this is part of the reason why prosecution wanted him detained. They did not want him out. They felt like he would be reaching out to potential jurors and witnesses.
I think Diddy might know us. I don't know, maybe. So I'm just going to explain. Usually, Sean Combs will do this thing where he does a sweep of the press pews when he first walks into the courtroom. He's like hugging his attorneys. He'll look to the public side, which is on his right, and then we're kind of diagonal from him. And he oftentimes, since more of his supporters are coming to the courtroom these days, he'll shoot them little hand hearts. He'll put his hand to his chest. He'll mouth, "Thank you." And then the press pews, we get a simple glance over and sometimes a nod. Now, clearly, this stands out to both my researcher and I really strongly because on Thursday, we even write the time down. At 8:50 a.m., jurors are not in the courtroom. Sean Combs sits down at his chair and he turns in his chair to the right. This is our eye direction. Like, we can see him now. He starts staring in what felt like in our general direction or perhaps right behind us. And it's a pretty lengthy stare. And then he starts nodding while mouthing the words dramatically, "I know you." He mouths it twice with what we perceive to be a smirk. Then as he's turning back around to face the front, he's like ever so slightly shaking his head while he's still smirking. But again, I'm not trying to be dramatic. I don't know if he was looking at me. He could have been looking behind me, right? But then right at that moment, the jury comes in, we all stand up, and as there's noise in the courtroom, because we're not allowed to talk when the judge is on the bench, a reporter from a major media network, I mean, she's been doing this for years and years. She's like a professional. She turns to me and she whispers, quote, "You're putting that in your video, right? Because that was at least 7 seconds. So my researcher and I, we both felt it was weird. We both wrote it down independently in our notes in the courtroom. We talked about it after and we're like, you know what? We can't be sure. We don't want to be dramatic. Then it happens again on Friday, a week later. So on Friday, there's this moment where there's a sidebar. Sean Combs' attorneys are near the front of the courtroom with the judge. And regardless, the jurors are still sitting on the side. Sean Combs turns around and then he talks to his mom and then he's smiling, nodding at her. He's like mouthing, "I love you." And then my neck is tilted still because I'm observing him and I'm taking notes about him talking to his mom during this sidebar. And as he's making his turn back to the front, it felt like we make awkward eye contact. And I say awkward to the point where I'm like, you know when it's so awkward, you almost like instinctively smile or look down because you're like, oh, I just got caught staring at someone. Mm-hmm. That was the feeling. It was like, oh, I literally just got caught staring him down. And he starts rubbing his chin with his left hand and mouths what appears to seem like, "I know you. I know you." And this time it seemed more pronounced because as he's rubbing his chin with his left hand, he does like a slight index point. It's not like a point. He's not pointing his finger, but it's kind of like a hand gesture. Like, "I know you." Like kind of like you, like almost pointing at you, whoever you is. Then he turns to the front. And it was just so odd. It was just weird. And again, he knows us. He doesn't know us. Does it really matter? I don't think so. But I did almost pee myself like that.
Oh, God. If I want to break this down psychologically, I am not a psychiatrist or a psychologist. However, I do have a bachelor's in psychology. Okay. And I've been studying the art of people and understanding people and covering these stories for years and interviewing people and speaking to people that study people. I'm wondering if he, and this is speculation, this is not fact. As she said before, there are people asking her weird questions, asking where she's staying, asking her influence, her power over her people. I wouldn't be surprised if these people are connected to Diddy. And I wouldn't be surprised that Diddy, paying attention to the media and bloggers, because please understand, there are, shout out to all the real journalists out there, because you, some of you, the most of you, like the old school journalists and some of the new school that have reverence for the old school, are not enamored by fame and celebrity, okay? But some people that are covering this story are enamored by celebrity and have a following. And because of that, Diddy, if Diddy looks at you or if Diddy is just like, "I know you. Oh, I like your stuff." That alone will shift some people's opinions of how they cover this story. And I'm not saying that about anyone specifically, so don't be starting stuff, people. What I'm saying is I'm talking about the culture of journalism today. There are people that would be easily influenced if Diddy looks at them. It's like, "Oh, I know you." And not necessarily in a creepy way. Diddy in his head, especially if he's going up to a sketch artist in the court and saying, ease up on how she is drawing him, making him look like a koala bear, basically. Something that Stephanie had said. So somehow he's getting this information. probably through his attorneys, probably through the people communicating with his attorneys and bringing this information back to him. You are worried about the wrong things, Diddy. Let's worry about the case. He's worried about public opinion. But when you look at his career and what he's being accused of and the narcissism, I'm not shocked that is his concern. I'm not shocked that he believes that he could utilize bloggers or the media to spin the narrative on the outside. No, you need to be able to spin the narrative to the jurors that are on this case. Speaking of the jurors, the government, according to NBC News, we talked about this yesterday, juror six, I believe it was. The government is seeking to remove one of the jurors who the defense claims is among the panel's black members. It's not clear exactly what's driving the prosecution's bid, aside from the lack of candor. That's a quote, lack of candor to seek the juror's removal. So I'm wondering, again, I don't know if it's the same woman we've reported. I believe it was Mona that reported that she doesn't have a poker face. Mona is one of the journalists covering this case. She doesn't have a poker face, one of these jurors. So I don't know if this is the same juror or if this is another juror. So they said, we were very reluctant to put in this letter. It appeared to be a lack of candor with the court that raises serious issues with us. So I'm wondering if they found something else out, not necessarily the behavior in the court, but something else they found out on the outside. Oof. We were reluctant to put this in a letter. It appeared to be a lack of candor with the court that raises serious issues with us. Lead prosecutor Maureen Comey told the court today, we did not want to do this. We were compelled to do that. The issue was brought up outside the presence of the jurors yesterday, and the defense lawyer Alexandra Shapiro said that her side is opposed to removing juror number six, who is black and wants a chance to respond to the prosecution's request. But if the government is going to put in a letter, we'd like the opportunity to be heard either in writing or tomorrow morning, according to the transcript of Shapiro's discussion with the judge and government. That is interesting. So I don't know about you. I've been loving the access that we have with ChatGPT. And I know we know words and what words mean, but in the legal sense, they can vary. So I asked ChatGPT, what could, in legal terms, the prosecution mean by, quote, lack of candor when it refers to a juror? So I wanted just to add this context so that we are, because I don't know about you. Some people will just read through something and just move on and be like, I don't know what that means. No, I need to know what it means. Because then in the future, because I'm not here for the prosecution. I'm not here for the defense. I'm here to cover the story and see how they're handling it. So according to ChatGPT, and this is not the word, I just want to give context. They said in legal terms, a quote, lack of candor typically refers to dishonesty, omission, or failure to be fully truthful, which is what we assumed, especially in contexts where honesty is required, such as during jury selection or jury interviews. So I'm wondering if they found out something. They said when used in reference to a juror, lack of candor can imply failure to disclose relevant information during jury selection. So I'm wondering if they found something. Not admitting to bias, past criminal history, or a relationship to a party in the case. Two, providing misleading or false answers, either intentionally or by omission. Three, hiding prejudices or conflicts that could impact their impartiality. Which, again, is making me wonder, what did the prosecution find out? Example scenarios. A juror fails to mention that they were a victim of a similar crime as the one on trial. Or a juror lies about knowing one of the parties involved in the case. And we're not saying that this is what it is. We're just giving you examples of what maybe it could be. A juror withholds information that would likely result in their disqualification if disclosed. Because it's not lost on me, especially here in New York, and especially when you think about the years that Diddy has been famous. It's not lost on me that some people might be motivated to be on this jury to be nosy. It's not lost on me that people are not wanting to be on this jury because remember we talked about this, Kirsten, if I had done it, I could end up coming out and say, I'm going to do a book. So that could be the motivation, and it makes me wonder, did they find out something from someone? Because remember what Kirsten said, she would want me to be the foreman because she feels as if I would be honest. If I heard a juror saying, well, I knew Diddy back in the day and I went to a party, or I know this, or I watched this on social media, she believes that I would be the rat. I'm sorry. Go on. I would be, though. I'm sorry. I take my job seriously. And this is why I was in HR. That was the position that I held. Not to be a rat, but to, if something's happening, I'm going to make sure things are going right. I would be a good foreman. I'm glad I'm not the foreman on this because, oof, I don't need Diddy looking at me like this, making faces. Because as the foreman, I'm going to make a comment to the prosecution or to the judge. Judge, he's making faces towards us, and I know he should not be. They said such conduct may raise serious concerns about the integrity of the trial, and if proven, it could result in a mistrial, a juror being dismissed, or a verdict being overturned on appeal due to the juror misconduct. So I can see why the prosecution wants to get ahead of that. They don't want to cause a mistrial. They don't want to cause later, if they appeal, they can say, well, we found out about this information. Because remember, we're literally this week dealing with a motion that was filed Saturday night by the defense claiming that the prosecution didn't do their job, that they knowingly put up witnesses on the stand that lied. And the judge denied that on Monday. However, I can see where the prosecution wants to make sure, even after this is finalized, after this case, the jury comes back with their response and their verdict, they want to make sure that on appeal, that it's cut and dry and it's protected. We learned a lot already today, and we're 30 minutes in. Since we're 30 minutes in, this will be your reminder. Don't forget, guys, we're raising money for the center. When we talk about topics like this, when we're talking about DV here on the channel, the center, although it provides services for the LGBT community, a lot of people don't realize that domestic situations like DV happen within the community. And a lot of times, these individuals do not have support. They do not have their family. They do not have their friends. A lot of them are homeless. The center has been providing services for the community for decades. And as you know, with this administration, a lot of the funds for these nonprofits are being cut. Help us raise $3,000 by this week, because I want to raise $5,000 this month. And I know that we can do it. And shout out to those of you that have sent me cash apps and things like that. I would prefer if you would just donate here. Those that have already sent it, I will be donating that money myself. However, I would prefer that you guys send it directly through YouTube Giving, because they pay the money directly to the organization, and 100% of your donation goes to the center. So thank you to everyone that's already donated to our Pride Month fundraiser. And we had quite a few people donate since I've been shaming y'all since Monday. I'm being facetious, but thank you to everyone that's already donated. We're going to get back to this, but before that, I have to also remind you, we have to do our administrative work. They do their administrative work. We have to do ours. The Kempire After Dark, the villain era, it's coming to Philadelphia on July 10th. July 10th, I'll be at the City Winery in Philadelphia again. Go get your tickets today if you haven't gotten your tickets. Then I'll be coming to Atlanta on August 5th, then DC on August 22nd, then back here in New York City on September 12th. All shows have meet and greets available. So if you want to meet with me, kiki with me, take pictures with me, this is your opportunity. The New York City show has an exclusive option of a live stream. The live stream ticket will give you the access to the show for a week. And please understand, what happens in Philly, Atlanta, and DC won't be happening in New York City. We'll be talking about all kinds of new stuff. Just saying. So get your tickets today. More information on the Kempire After Dark, the villain era, will be available in the description. And if you know someone that might want to come or might not know about this because you know the algorithm, our Diddy videos aren't the most popular videos here on the channel. So be sure to share and let people know. Like, did you know Kempire is going on tour? He's going to be in your city. Please keep spreading the word. We appreciate it. So back to this. So I don't know what the determination will be in regards to this juror. We're going to continue to watch this. So let's get into the testimony. Yesterday, we had some issues with Inner City Press. They look to be up and running today. Just a reminder what they talked about at the beginning of today in regards to the jury stuff. So Inner City Press writes this. The judge says, anything before the jury comes in, does the defense want to respond to the government on the juror issue? Combs' attorney, Alexander Shapiro, says this is the thinly veiled attempt to exclude a black juror. You remember part of Diddy's legal defense was saying that they wanted to come after a black man. He was using race as part of his defense, or at least that was what they were initially trying to do. AUSA says, we looked at the record and found a lack of candor, as we mentioned. The judge says, we'll deal with this before the weekend. Are the jurors ready? They said, no. Judge says, well, then we'll take 10 minutes. They take a little bit of a break. Reminder, if you can support Inner City Press any way you can, because they've been providing us services, there are multiple ways that you can support them. Follow them on X, and you can see other ways that you can support them through Venmo and buy him a coffee. Matter of fact, let me open this link so I can buy him a coffee later. There we go. All right. So while waiting for the jurors, Combs is reading something. This is Inner City Press writing this. Talking to Agnifilo on one side, his attorney, Shapiro one seat away, about the juror the U.S. wants to remove, still waiting for the jury. So incidentally, why isn't the prosecutor's letter seeking to exclude the juror in the docket? This is what Inner City Press is saying, at least in redacted form, despite Inner City Press requests and the judge's orders. This is him asking a question. All rise. The judge says, Ms. Garagos, you may proceed. I want to admit, again, remember, this is not a transcript, so I apologize if you're going to see a humana. I'm trying to figure out what they're trying to say here. Admit this in exhibit under seal. Can you read this, Jane? Messages December 2021 between yourself and Cabral after a hotel night. Jane says, yes. You had a pretty intense night. She answers, yes. He says to you, you were talking so dirty to me. I love it. Jane says, yes, I'm being friendly here. After your long hotel night, you saw him with Gina? Jane says, yes. Then Cabral wrote to you that he would be in LA and he'd stay to see if you wanted. She says, yes. What do you say? It's my birthday weekend and you don't show me no love. Garagos then asks, then you asked him to send you a personal video. Jane says, yes. Garagos says, that night you saw the Italian entertainer, who we'll call the entertainer. Jane says, yes. And Sean had taken up with Young Miami. So they actually say Young Miami's name in the court. And before people comment on Young Miami, and I've said this before in covering these cases, and I know we've seen a lot of reports and a lot of stories, we still do not know whether or not Young Miami was a victim. We still do not know. So let's treat her as if she is a victim, because we do not know. Garrigo says, and Sean had taken up with Young Miami. Jane says, yes. And you said, if you don't get your A out of the island, no party, right? Jane says, right. Sean wrote you a note that you said meant the world to you. You told KK you wanted to make it cute and romantic. Jane says, yes. The Valentine's Day hotel night, having two men there, was that your idea? It was. After these nights, it was crushing to see these things. Like Gina posting the love bracelet on Instagram, right? She says, yes. I hear you are planning to reach out to Sean and perhaps reach out to the Italian. Jane says, I was still doing that then. He says, can you FaceTime? She says, yes, that's what he said. 10 days later, you had another hotel night. Jane says, maybe. Let me refresh your recollection of seeing Mr. Combs and not having a hotel night with him. Jane says, it certainly did.
You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books, and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system, so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
This Father's Day at Lowe's, score free gifts for the greatest dad. Right now, get a free select DeWalt, Craftsman, or Kobalt tool with purchase of a select battery kit. Plus, get a free Werner 2-foot aluminum ladder when you buy an 8-foot fiberglass ladder. Shop these deals and more this Father's Day at Lowe's. We help, you save. Valid through 6/15 while supplies last. Selection varies by location.
No hotel nights until the end of June? Jane says maybe. Here, Mr. Combs says, I am jerking my D thinking how nasty you are going to be to me. Right? She says, yes. He says, call Italian or Paul is free and you liked Paul is free, right? She says, yes. And I'm assuming in a text message, you know how you can react to people's comments. So apparently she liked it. Jane says, yes. Garagos then says, he gave you a choice and you chose. She says, yes. He responds, I told Paul 11 p.m. Is that okay? And let's watch Corn first, right? Jane says, yes. He says, London Hotel, what would you get? Stripper shoes, shorts, maybe whips. Why shorts? I was really turned off by their shorts, so I got other shorts for them. It was not so fun to wait for them to be erect. I started to get things on the side so that they could get erect. I got pills at the stores, rhino pills. The next day, he says, want to do dinner at 9? Bring the freak bag just in case. Jane says, right, lingerie and the rest. But you didn't have a freak night. Let me refresh your recollection and this exhibit under seal. He says, I'm about to work out with Paul. Then I want to see you. You say hair up. Jane says, there was probably a FaceTime between these two. Garrigo says, he says, did you want to hit Italian, right? She says, yes, I didn't want to. Garagos then says, Sean says, Paul is all we need. And you say, laughing out loud, what do you say? Jane says, I'll go to the store unless you get a head start. What do you mean? Go to the hotel ahead of me. But then you spent several days at his home. Answer, maybe. You really did love him, right? She says, yes. Did you remember seeing Sean in September of 2022 and not having a hotel night September 9th? She says, I'm not sure. I'm sure you're not sure. Again, a reminder. I don't know how people remember dates of anything. If you ask, especially now that I don't, when you work a 9-to-5, you probably are able to recollect certain days of the week. And even then, it's hard. But now, because I work such a weird schedule and sometimes I'm working on a Saturday night, if you'd ask me, was that June the 4th? I'd be like, maybe. I don't recall. And maybe that's a bad thing, especially with technology, that we can't recall certain things. Can you tell me some of your best friend's phone numbers? I couldn't tell you right now. Back in the day, we had to know our numbers. Oh, Lord, here I go. But we did, and we really should in this day and age at least memorize one or two numbers. I keep saying I need to do that. All right, Jane says, I'm not sure. Now, do you see you saw him but no hotel night? Jane says, that is incorrect. September 4th, Garrigo says. Jane says, we took a jet to Vegas. He performed. Then we had a hotel night with an entertainer. I don't know, Jane. I don't know what she enjoyed and what she did not enjoy. But from reading some of this stuff and the frequency of some of this stuff, like I get like a ugh in my stomach, like, oh, here we go. Another hotel night. Because it's one thing to have extracurricular or outside the box sexcapades and things like that. The fun comes out of it when it's incessant, when it's hours, when it's days, when it's not something that you want, but it's just what your partner wants, and your partner's not necessarily thinking about you. Then, like, the whole sexiness or the appeal of it goes out the window. In my opinion, maybe other people, apparently not to Diddy. Do you remember seeing him on September 20th and not having a hotel night? She says, I'm not sure. Let me show you. Does it refresh your recollection? Jane says, I guess I did. Did Sean pay for your birthday dinner? Jane says, yes. What was the restaurant? I can't remember the name. You had a great time? I had an okay time. You right, the attorney says. Is Nobu the only place? How about something outside of the hotel? Jane says, he conveniently put me in a hotel with the Nobu. I suggested Poppy's Steak. That's a nice restaurant in Miami. Jane says, so I've heard. And I think the defense wants to make again, painting the picture, he brought you to nice hotels and nice restaurants, and he paid for everything. I think it's important for me to emphasize that. Valentine's Day, the year before, he was in a different country. You wrote, "Get your ass back from that island, right?" Jane says, "Yes." Garrigo says, "Then at the Nobu Hotel, you accepted it." Jane says, "I would say I went along with it." "You said accepted," Garrigo said. Jane says, "My stuttering was trying to find the right word for the pressure I felt." Garrigo says, "You mean, quote, agitation?" She says, "Yes." "You said he gave you your birthday gift, a necklace." Jane says, "Yes." "Did you take this photo?" She says, "Yes." Garrigo says, "Under seal." And again, it's under seal because it would reveal her identity. And they've had to get better with this because they've made some things slip through the cracks. Garrigo says, "It was a Van Cleef necklace." And if you know anything about Van Cleef, it can be pricey. Jane says, "Yes." "What is Van Cleef?" "A jewelry brand that is high end. In the photo, I had already taken drugs. Any time of affection made me smile." Garrigo says, "You took a mirror selfie?" "Unfortunately, yes." Sean gave the entertainer a condom that night. Jane says, "Yes." Are these your texts with Cabral?" Jane says, "I was high. It was 2:40 in the morning." "UCT time, right?" Garrigo says. She says, "Yes." "So it was night East Coast time." She says, "Yes." "What did you write here?" Jane says, "I wrote, I appreciate everything you did for my birthday. I want to give you everything you want on Valentine's Day." Garrigo says, "What did you mean?" Jane says, "The necklace and your," they put in asterisk, "your lovemaking, only with regard to him." Oh, I guess maybe she emphasized, like, "your lovemaking." Garrigo says, "Then you sent him photos of your guys in the hotel room." Jane says, "Yes." "You didn't tell him that you didn't like it until you saw him with Carisha in Turks, right?" Jane says, "Yes, it was hurtful after enduring what I endured." Garrigo says, "You reached out to Cabral under the pressure of my lover." Jane says, "You asked him and he gave the man a condom at the very last minute, thank God. You wrote to him, I loved and appreciated every detail you put into my B-day." Jane says, "I wrote that with regard to Sean." "You wrote that to Sean. You stopped talking to him?" Jane says, "I was heartbroken. I flew to Paris Fashion Week." "You enjoyed it?" She says, "Yes." This is a text message chain between you and Sean, March of 2023. On the 2nd, he wrote, "Sorry I called you a B. I deserve this. Love, right?" She says, "Yes." Garrigo says, he then writes, "When can you come to Turks, right?" She says, "Yes." "You sent him a heart emoji and wrote, what we have is special, right?" She says, "Yes." Garrigo says, "The budget for your trip was $100,000. Jane says, "Yes." Garrigo says, "And he spent $55,000. Jane says, "I don't know." Garrigo says, "You felt that he didn't like you up and he didn't like you up and leaving to Paris." "No, he didn't." "You went to the Mandarin Oriental and watched choreography with Sean?" She says, "Yes." "Sean asked you about bringing Don?" Jane says, "Given the situation, I said yes." "You said you'd known Paul wouldn't be there, you wouldn't have gone to Turks." Wait, let me just read that again. "You said if you would have known Paul would be there, you wouldn't have gone to Turks." Jane says, I would not have. "Did you write to Cabral from there and invite him to come there?" Jane says, "Yes, under the encouragement of my partner." "Yes, I did." "You were happy Sean gave you a diamond. Jane says, "I thought it was sweet." "You were glad to get a diamond?" She says, "I just wanted Sean." You wrote, "I wanted diamonds." Comey says, "Objection as to form?" This is from AUSA. Judge says, "Rephrase it." "Do you remember telling Paul that you'd let Sean go too far and it was your fault?" She says, "Yes." "Your Honor," Garrigo says, "Your Honor, I think this would be a good place to take a break." Judge says, "Okay, I'll rise." Well, before we get back into the testimony from our friends over at Inner City Press, I do want to highlight some of the summaries because, as I said before, and I'll say it again, sometimes when we read the summaries from NBC News, there is some context that's missing from our Inner City Press folks. So I want to read this. "Defense lawyers have presented exhibits in court suggesting Jane initiated some freak-offs with Combs at a hotel. Lawyers entered evidence photos of rooms with rose petals and balloons decorated by Jane. Asked if she suggested a hotel night with two other men at the same time, Jane answered yes. Yes, that was my suggestion. Combs was excited about that, Jane said in court. After a late August 2022 tryst with Combs and sex worker Paul, Jane testified that she told the defendant how much she appreciated their encounters. These encounters. Jane texts Combs that she's having so much fun and that she would never take this for granted and will always make sure you are taken care of. The defense wants to cast these sexual encounters, freak-offs, as consensual acts and not part of a criminal enterprise led by Combs, which is what the prosecution is accusing him of. Diddy sent Jane at least $13,000 for her birthday in February of 2023, she testified. Jane acknowledged the money was for an outfit and her friends who wanted to celebrate over dinner in Los Angeles. Jane said that the birthday dinner was okay but not great and that she originally asked Diddy for $15,000. Diddy was also with Kalisha at the time. I think they meant Carisha, NBC, whose birthday was around the same date as hers, Jane testified. The witness recalled how excited she was to receive a Van Cleef necklace and bracelet set for her birthday in 2023. Jane said that she wore lingerie and greeted Combs with open arms because the witness was happy to be wrapped up in my lover's arms. Asked if this birthday celebration led to a hotel night, she said, unfortunately, yes. Seeing pictures of Combs having fun in Turks and Caicos with rapper Young Miami was, quote, painful experience, Jane said, especially in light of all she had done to satisfy him in sexual trysts with multiple men. Having to see the aftermath of him being with another woman, it was painful, the witness recalled. So these are important elements to keep in mind because, again, the defense is making it seem as if she wanted this. See, she even initiated these hotel nights, these freak-offs, to make her seem less credible, that you wanted this. He didn't force you to do this. He wasn't coercing you into doing any of this. You wanted this. You wanted to please your partner. You knew that this was something that he liked, but you wanted this. You're not the victim here, basically, is what they're trying to say. However, again, when we talk about self-esteem and we talk about cycles of abuse, when we talk about these patterns of, because we also talk about, when we talk about cycles of abuse, we talk about these people being still in love with someone that has been abusive, both physically and mentally and emotionally abusive to them, still being in love with them despite those moments. Because there are good moments. And when those good moments are happening and also induced by drugs, those seem bigger and better than the low moments. Again, I'm not an expert. I'm just analyzing based off of my bachelor's in psychology and understanding of what I've learned over the years in covering cases very similar to this one or stories very similar to this one. Let's get back into what Inner City Press is transcribing inside the courtroom after their break. So the judge says, are we still all ready except for the absence of Ms. Comey? AUSA says, yes, Your Honor, we've reached you. AUSA Comey enters. Judge says, okay, let's bring back Jane. The jury enters. Ms. Garagos, you may proceed. Garagos says, you wrote, all I have in my mind right now is your passionate lovemaking, right? She says, yes. Garagos says, you saw him 2 weeks later and did not have a hotel night. Jane says, maybe. Let's play this voice note. I believe there is no objection. AUSA says, I don't have it on my list, but if Ms. Garagos represents I have no objection, I won't. Garagos says, give me a minute. I'll move on. Did you ask about hotels or Airbnbs? She says, yes. Combs' attorney then says, and Sean asks, how do you know there aren't cameras in the Airbnb, right? Jane says, yes, I wrote, they could be covered by security. We'll just say it's our anniversary and we want to cover them to feel comfortable. Sean then says, what did you write to Sean? You make my child so happy. I love you. Sobs. She starts to cry. Garagos says, take as much time as you need. Jane says, I do remember. Are you ready? She says, yes. Garagos says, in this, where are you? Jane says, hotel night. Garagos says, 3136 sealed. I'm guessing it's more sealed evidence. Garagos says, and this 3152, is it a message after the hotel night saying, I love living in the moment with you? It was our little partay, rosé, whatever we were saying. Is that a moon emoji? Comey says, Your Honor, may we approach? The judge says, yes. Okay, then they take a break. Sidebar is over. One of the things that we learned, I believe it was from Mona, another journalist covering this story, that when they take their sidebars, they play like this white noise. So I guess so that the courtroom doesn't hear their conversation. All the little things you learn from covering these cases. Diddy's attorney says, Jane, jumping ahead, DX3171, is this a message chain between you and Mr. Combs, August 9th of 2023? She says, yes. Mr. Combs writes, movie night off the charts. You say you agree, right? She says, yes. For those that might be new to this story, when they say movie night, it's not like you and I movie night or Netflix, maybe some chill. It's not one of those. Movie nights in Diddy's world and the freak-offs of it all were nights when he and Jane would watch their sexcapades, her with other men. Those were movie nights. Garrigo says, then the all-star night, canceled by the hurricane, right? Jane says, yes. Then you heard Mr. Combs on a podcast in Croatia where he said that he had sex on the yacht trip. You said he lied to you. Jane says, it hurt my feelings. So literally as I'm recording this, these are live updates that are coming in. I do want to piggyback on what we just read from NBC News. They said Jane cried in court after discussing how Diddy was a blessing to her in a text message exchange. You are truly a blessing in my life. I have never had a man take care of me like you do, Jane wrote to Diddy a day after one of their hotel nights. You're the reason for my child's joy. It means the world to us. I love you, baby. Jane also wrote, she'll always be by Combs' side. You are my lover, my partner, my boyfriend, she wrote. Jane then began crying in front of the jury. I mean, okay, so I see what the defense is doing here, saying, and again, when you think about Jane and what she represents in this case, someone that literally was still with Diddy right before he was arrested, literally is being paid by, meaning he's paying her rent. Literally, her attorney that's representing her in this case is paid by him. I don't know how strong of a witness she is. In a lot of elements, it's strong for certain aspects of the charges that Diddy's facing. But when it comes to him being the monster that people want to make him out to be, which he is, in a lot of ways, I think she's just corroborating Cassie's part of this. I don't know. For me, again, if you're not in the room, it's hard to tell, especially because, again, there are no cameras, there are no audio available for this case. If you're not in the room, it's hard to tell, especially if you're not able to look at the jury and how they're taking in all of this. But keep in mind, even if the jury is having facial reactions to each witness for whatever it may be, or in that moment, they still have guidelines that they have to go by before they can determine not guilty or guilty. So they can't just be willy-nilly like, oh, based off of one particular thing that I saw from this particular witness, not guilty. They still have to go by the guidelines set forth by the court when it comes to the charges. All right, let's get back into what Inner City Press is reporting. They said, Combs' attorney says, then the all-star night canceled by the hurricane, right? I'm going to reread this. Jane says, yes. Garagos says, then you heard Mr. Combs on a podcast in Croatia where he said that he had sex on the yacht trip. You said he lied to you. Jane said, it hurt my feelings. Garagos says, you proposed zero bond or Casa Cipriani. Are these two private clubs in New York? Jane says, yes. Garagos says, but you ended up going to a lounge, right? Yes. And after you rejected the new entertainer for lack of chemistry, you called Cabral? Yes. And you said that you were high that night and felt freer. You let Cabral do things you usually didn't. Jane says yes. And you then wrote to Mr. Combs, I love you so much. I did. You spoke about the sobriety party. You resented him for it, right? Remember, sobriety parties, I have to give context here for people that might be new. Sobriety parties were not sober. Just an FYI. They just had a name for everything. Diddy had a name for everything. Do you guys do that in your lives? Or maybe you have to have a certain amount of money to be saying, tonight is a sobriety party or a hotel night. You have names for things in your lives like this? So you spoke about the sobriety party. You resented him for it, right? She says, yes. You had wanted to break up with him after you saw him with Gina. Jane says, there were so many times I wanted to break up with him. You were in an Equinox parking lot and you tried to break up with him, right? She says, yes. Let me play you an audio recording. But then you hear Sean Combs' voice. We were both tripping, Jane's voice. We need to pick each other up. Garrigo says, no entertainers that night. Right. But it was after the video in Cassie's lawsuit was made public. Jane says, yes. Before that, would Mr. Combs write Cassie love letters while with you? Jane says, I'm not sure. Oh, I remember. What do you remember? The judge says that they adjourned for the day. The judge says, I understand Ms. Garrigos will finish tomorrow morning. Who will be the next government witnesses? AUSA says, Andre Lamaze. I'm not sure who that is. Jonathan Perez, then our first summary witness, Ms. Sankar. Judge says, when will you rest? AUSA says, next Friday or even Wednesday. Okay, so we're getting closer, but at the same time, I don't know if I have a definitive answer on how the jury will come to a verdict, whether guilty or not guilty, based on all of this information. But again, they have to follow guidelines. And again, I will bring Kirsten and some more thinkers, and not just lawyers, here on the channel to talk about this case, because I think it's important, not just experts, but women that have been in relationships, that have been in relationships with men like Diddy. And this is why I will probably do another call in so you guys can weigh in on some of the testimony so far. But I always ask that you guys be respectful, because even if you don't believe them, there's a way about saying you don't believe them and still giving grace. Because we have to remember, I don't think we are debating whether or not Diddy, and I keep saying this in every single video, we're not debating whether or not Diddy was abusive, a manipulator, a narcissist. I don't think we're debating that. He physically harmed women. He manipulated women. He encouraged women to do drugs, allegedly, I'll say, that they never were doing before that we know of. To the point where Cassie in her lawsuit said that she literally had damage to her brain due to the psychological abuse, the physical abuse, and the drugs that she was using. We literally had both women, both Cassie and Jane now, talk about unaliving themselves or wanting to or thinking about doing that. The judge says, okay, so the feds believe that they will end their case possibly next Wednesday, the latest next Friday. So this is another week. But this is not over because now the defense has to present. So the judge says, Mr. Agnifilo, Diddy's attorney, says, we'll know more when they tell us which witnesses they are cutting. I think we're still on schedule. AUS says, we want 26.2 material as soon as we rest. Agnifilo says, yes. Who are they cutting? And based on what we've seen so far, KK has been mentioned multiple times. I need to ask an attorney. I will ask Kirsten, why in the hell would KK not, Christina Curram, why she would not testify? Again, that could be the last witness to put the nail in the coffin. Because at the end of the day, KK has all of the information, both business and personal. She ran his life. He literally said that publicly. She ran his life. Her name has come up multiple times in crimes. Even if you don't believe it had anything to do with the S trafficking and the racketeering, she was involved in crimes. Why hasn't she testified? And we've spoken to her staff in regards to the assistants. She was the chief of the staff. But again, next Wednesday, by next Friday, if KK doesn't testify and she testifies for the defense, and we talked about this with Kirsten, she testifies for the defense, she's putting herself in jeopardy, legal jeopardy. Look at me using legal terms. Don't know if I use that correctly. You guys will correct me in the chat. It's fine. I'm not perfect. I know I present that way. But yeah. So Judd says, Mr. Agnifilo, okay, blah, 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 blah. We think that they have opened the door to Jane's prior consistent statements. This is what the AUSA says. Her notes before November of 2024 when she got immunity for her grand jury testimony. Combs' attorney, Jason Driscoll. They are not prior consistent statements. Agnifilo says, this witness was never going to be charged as a co-conspirator, according to Diddy's attorney. Judge says, how about the Mann Act charges? I remember the Mann Act. We'll get into the Mann Act in just a second because I think it's worth us understanding what they're saying here. Agnifilo says the government told half the story. Judge says, I'll look at it. See everyone tomorrow. Let's get into what the Mann Act is. I always have to remind myself because I'm not an attorney. My brain is not trained like an attorney. Shout out to all the attorneys. I give you enough respect. And to the journalists, because when you go to school, when you go to law school, when you go to become a journalist, they train your brain to think a certain way. And so these terms and things, statutes and things like that, stick out in your mind. So shout out to someone in our Spotify community that listens to podcasts that says these updates, and shout out to all of you that send love in regards to our updates. That does help motivate me. So keep sending the love. It does keep, because there are days where I'm like, do I need to do this today? Do I need to update this today? Do I? But here we are. We got only a couple more weeks, I think. Three more weeks, maybe. Less than that, probably. Maybe like 2 more weeks. July 4th? No, like 3 weeks. All right. So the Mann Act, according to ChatGPT, officially known as the White Slave Traffic Act of 1910. It's a federal law in the United States that makes it a crime to transport individuals across state lines for illegal sexual activity. So under the 18 U.S. Code, blah, 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 we won't get into that, the Mann Act prohibits knowingly transporting any individual in interstate or foreign commerce with the intent that individual engage in S work. In S work or any other sexual activity for which a person can be charged with a criminal offense. So key elements of the Mann Act charge, interstate or foreign travel. The accused must have transported or caused someone to travel across state lines or U.S. borders. Intent. There must be intent the person will engage in illegal sexual activity such as S work or statutory rape. Illegal sexual activity. This includes S work, S trafficking, and underage sexual exploitation. Common modern applications, S trafficking of minors, coercing someone to travel for commercial S acts, transporting someone for exploitive pornography. So there are elements that are like, oh, the Diddy of it all. Online grooming cases that involve physical travel. So penalties. Up to 10 years in prison for a first offense, more severe penalties up to life if the case involves minors, force, fraud, or coercion. Notable, the Mann Act was originally designed to combat forced S work, but over time its scope has broadened. It has been used in high-profile cases involving celebrities and public figures accused of S crimes involving travel. So I'm glad that we kind of looked into this. So that's giving us an idea. So let me just reread what the judge said here. Agnifilo says the witness was never going to be charged as a co-conspirator. The judge says, how about the Mann Act charges? So in regards to the charges that Diddy's facing. Okay. Agnifilo says the government told half the story. The judge says, I'll look at it. See everyone tomorrow. Okay. Just so we're educating ourselves, we are learning so much. Probably more than we even know or need to know. All right, let me give you a little summary from our friends over at NBC News. Do me a favor while we're doing that to like the video, subscribe to the channel, turn on your notifications so you never miss out on these updates. There is also a Diddy trial playlist that we've created so you can get all of your updates. We've been covering this since day one. Okay, you can also get extended versions of our updates on the Kempire podcast, available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts, including here on YouTube. According to NBC News, Jane said she encouraged Combs to go 30 days eating healthy foods and staying off drugs, and that included Combs pushing for a sobriety party, which was a hotel night without drugs. But it wasn't. It never turned out to be that. That party lasted between 12 and 18 hours and included Jane having sex with three men. She told the court that she unfortunately agreed to Combs' request. I resent him for how much I loved him and couldn't say no to him, the witness said of the October 2023 get-together. I resent him for all of it. They continue. In a party video shot by a jovial Jane, expressed how good for each other they were. Combs told Jane that she, quote, "They need to pick each other up, isolate ourselves, and do the same thing," the video shot in the fall of 2023 showed. Though Combs did seem to acknowledge he hadn't been the best boyfriend, saying, "I don't want to hurt you no matter what the F is going on." Do we think that he had some remorse for his behavior? But if you look at some of these abuse cases, abuse victims will tell you he will come back or she will come back the next day so remorseful. The judge sent the jurors home for the day, asking them to return to court tomorrow at 9 a.m. So we start early tomorrow. Today was a short day. There will be more cross-examination of Jane, though the defense has told the judge that they should be done in the morning. I'm ready for us to move on from Jane's testimony because I feel like it is rehashing. I don't feel like there's anything greatly new that's come out. The lead prosecutor, Comey, said the government will rest no later than a week from Friday and perhaps as early as Wednesday next week. The government is condensing its case and will soon let the court and defense know which witnesses will be cut from earlier plans. I'm interested to know who was on this list, and this is probably part of the reason why the prosecution has been unsealing their witness list little by little, even though the defense has full access to everyone that they were considering on their list. But I want to know personally, and I don't know if we will ever know who they were considering. I do recall there being speculation whether or not victim three was missing or not. And he or she, because I don't want to assume, would possibly no longer included because they stopped responding to the prosecution. I wonder if the prosecution will seek, because again, if you don't show up for a subpoena, you will get arrested. So what are the ramifications for not showing up for a subpoena? Let's ask ChatGPT. It's one of those types of days. What are the ramifications for not showing up for a federal subpoena? And again, this is not taking away from our attorneys. We will still ask our attorneys. But in the moment, I have a question. I want an answer. Failing to appear for a federal subpoena, whether as a witness, subject, or custodian of documents, is a serious offense with potentially severe legal consequences. And I'm assuming, again, I don't want to put out there that this is what's going to happen to victim three, because we don't know. For all we know, they could be condensing their case and saying, we're not going to utilize her. Maybe during their preparation for this, they were like, yeah, we don't want to put her on the stand. She's going to hurt our case. Maybe. But for us to know, contempt of court. If you, this is one of the legal ramifications of not ignoring a federal subpoena. Contempt of court. If you willfully disobey a subpoena, a federal judge may hold you in civil or criminal contempt. Penalties may include fines, jail time until compliance or as punishment, or court sanctions. Arrest warrant is number two. The court may issue a bench warrant for your arrest. U.S. Marshals or federal agents can detain you and forcibly bring you to court. Unless, allegedly, I'm not saying that this is a fact, but we've seen Diddy do some things or be accused of some things in this court. Unless he has paid this witness off and given her the means to escape. Because a lot of people have said, Diddy, if he was free, he has the means. And this is part of the reason why the feds wanted him detained. He has the means to be over there in Bali with Russell Simmons. Do you think Diddy's going to escape from the MDC? No, at least not yet. Three, obstruction of justice charges. If your failure to comply is seen as an intentional interference, which this could be if this is what's happening with victim three, intentional interference with a federal investigation or proceeding could lead to additional criminal charges. Penalties for obstruction may include up to 5 years in prison or more if terrorism or national security is involved. Number four, loss of immunity protection. So if they were offering her immunity before and she admitted to crimes during their interviews. If you were offered immunity in exchange for testimony and refused to comply, the immunity may be revoked. 5. Civil penalties. In civil matters, noncompliance can result in default judgments or other adverse legal rulings against you. They also add this, a subpoena is not optional. For those that don't understand that, because there are witnesses people have been bashing saying, why are you here, blah, 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 they were subpoenaed. A subpoena is not optional. If you believe it's improper or burdensome, you must formally challenge it in court, not just ignore it. If you're sick, out of town, or unable to comply for valid reasons, your attorney should notify the issuing court immediately to avoid penalties. And there we go. Guys, I hope you enjoyed today. Today was a long one. Today was definitely a long one, but we appreciate you. Shout out to our King's Guards. Please say thank you to them. They show up. They're in different time zones. They're in our comment section. A reminder, no speculation on the victims. And we refer to them as victims because some people in the comment section don't understand why we're referring to the victims. In the indictment, they are labeled victims. Okay? You can debate amongst yourselves at home. Don't debate in my comment section or in the live chat. Okay? It's a free country, but the chat ain't free. This is my house. Okay? No speculation on their identity. No profanity in the live chat, no derogatory statements, and of course, no attacking people for their opinion. Because I will block you. We don't block heavy over here, but for this, we will block you. Okay? Anyway, thank you to our King's Guards. Thank you to our channel members. Thank you to our subscribers and to our new subscribers. If you are a new subscriber, please let yourself be known in the chat or in the comment section. We appreciate you all being here. And if you're a new listener, some of the new listeners have been hitting me up on X and Blue Sky and Threads. We have so many places now where we are. Everything is at the Kempire. More information on us, our Pride merch, our Juneteenth merch, our Kempire After Dark tour will be available in the description. Speaking of the Kempire After Dark tour, Philly, you're up first, July 10th. Atlanta, August 5th. DC, August 22nd. Then back here in New York City. More information on those shows will be available in the description. And I will see you guys in the next one. Tomorrow is day 22, Thursday. Lord. Two more days at least for the week. And then I have to take the weekend off where I just do nothing and just vegetate or something, or go to the spa, something. Guys, as always, we appreciate your like. If you haven't liked the video, like on your way out. We appreciate it. And don't forget, you can hear an extended version of these updates. Sometimes we add a lot of additional information to the podcast version. So subscribe today. And for those that just watch me here and you see when we post the podcast version, it comes up for you guys a little bit later than the podcast folks. Be sure to listen to it because sometimes it's new information that we're adding in there like we did yesterday. All right, guys. Thank you so much for being here. I will see you all in the next one. Thanks for watching and, of course, for listening.
Thanks for tuning in to Kempire here on the Kempire Radio Network. As always, you can hear Kempire on Apple Podcasts and on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts. More information can be found on KempireRadio.com.
This Father's Day at Lowe's, score free gifts for the greatest dad. Right now, get a free select DeWalt, Craftsman, or Kobalt tool with purchase of a select battery kit. Plus, get a free Werner 2-foot aluminum ladder when you buy an 8-foot fiberglass ladder. Shop these deals and more this Father's Day at Lowe's. We help, you save. Valid through 6/15 while supplies last. Selection varies by location.